Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. He's Dan the Man. I'm the guy who probably shouldn't have eaten that whole bag of potato chips before we went on the air. But anyways, if you'd like to call into Sports Time Radio, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, go on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So you can look for one of those tomorrow morning, but there is various content added throughout the week. Sadly, though, I didn't see any Dan Cub game recaps, so I guess we're not going to get those this year. A little disappointed, but I'll get over it. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you know the deal. Hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at... So, sadly, I emailed Mr. Fantasy, I texted him, and he said he didn't have time to do his FanDuel lineup today, so I guess you're just going to have to live with the advice Dan and I gave you, or give you. I can tell you that he made some adjustments when I told him he had two guys not out. He went with Brian McCann and Jacob Lamb to fill the spot. I guessed wrong. I actually plugged one of his spots with Evan Longoria. So his lineup scored you probably just under 120 points, which I'm going to guess wasn't good enough to money. So hopefully, he'll be here Sunday with me. Hopefully he'll have a better idea or a better plan. I know he won last Sunday. I don't know how he did throughout the week. He didn't tell me. But as we, kind of get going into today with it, Dan, you know, it's the 7:05 main is what we've got. Those games include the Yankees at the Orioles, the Marlins at the Mets, the Blue Jays at the Rays, the A's at the Rangers, the Cubs at the Brewers, the Twins at the White Sox, the Royals at the Astros, the Reds at the Cardinals, the Indians at the Diamondbacks, and the Mariners at the Angels. You know, I'm looking at the starting pitchers, Dan, and it's really the definition of shooting fish in a barrel. You know, there's just not one guy who jumps off the page and says, hey, you need to start me tonight against the team. But here's the top five. They actually have Francisco Liriano on top for $8,000. Your guy, Wei Ying Chin, is second at $7,700. Josh Tomlin at $7,600. Then you can get Mike Fiers or A.J. Griffin for $7,300. How did those guys stop you, Dan?
I can't wait to pick one of them, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I was... I went cruising around and looking. You know, and like Zach Wheeler starting him tonight for the Mets, I think that's an interesting matchup against the Marlins. You know, the only problem is, being that it's Zach Wheeler, you're probably just going to get five innings. So you're going to have to get the win because you're not going to get the quality start. And you just better hope he has a fantastic outing and put the monster strikeout numbers. So it just makes him really difficult to go with. You know what I mean? Of all the days, you know, I would jump on the Cub pitcher tonight, except for the fact that it's Brett Anderson. And there's just no way I'm getting on the Brett Anderson train in Milwaukee. That's just not going to happen. But, you know, really just, you know, going through here, man, I can't find a matchup that, I really like. So, yeah, it's interesting. I think what I finally decided I'm going to do, Dan, is I'm going to spend $6,600 on Mike Leake because he's pitching against Cincinnati and the game's in St. Louis. So I think he's got the best chance out of anybody to get a win. And I'm just hoping he'll go six innings and get me a quality start to add up to it. But, I mean, you could go down the list of starters, and from Liriano at $8,000, you know, all the way down to it's Amir Garrett and Jesse Chavez you can get for $4,000, you could probably come up with just as good a reason to start those guys. So, yeah, I don't know. Did you get an idea? Was there anybody you liked? Did you see something I might have missed?
No, well, of course I would like to start with each end, but I just can't go with him or Liriano. And I think, like you said, going into Cincinnati, Leak is probably a good option. If I can get my Wi-Fi to work here.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, I'm kind of looking at it, and I'm trying to think of, you know, who's going to get me a win? And, you know, when things jump out, you know, like, I honestly believe the Cubs will beat the Brewers today. But I'm not confident that Brett Anderson is going to last five innings to get that win. So, you know, it's a little scary on that part when, you know, these things kind of come up by, you know, I considered going with Yovani Gallardo. He's pitching the Mariners tonight against the Angels. But the Mariners haven't been hitting. I don't know if they're going to score for them. But it's just, you know, it's starting to be one of those things where it's just like, man, you know, I'm looking at it going, man, I got to pick somebody. How am I going to fill up this lineup? And it's just, ugh. So, you know, I'm thinking if you hit on the right cheap pitcher, you can probably stack the you-know-what out of your lineup. You know, with hitters, because there's got to be some value somewhere. So, you know,
the Cubs going to be hot tonight.
Yeah, you know, that's my fear is I always worry about any team going up against, like, you know, the Cubs or the any of those teams that can really hit. So, I was looking, you know, like, I know both the Royals and the Orioles have been struggling to score runs. So, you know, maybe you believe in Mike Fiers. You know, he's going to cost you a little more at $7,300. You know, but if you think the Royals are going to continue to slump, you know, maybe you jump on that route. You know, the Yankees are going with Severino. He's an interesting value at 5,400, but, you know, he struggled a little bit last year, and you just kind of wonder, you know, how's he going to get out of the gate? But, you know, those are a couple of the teams that, you know, just haven't really scored. And to be fair, neither have the Blue Jays. So if you think, you know, you just got to kind of decide, you know, how long are these streaks going to last? So, you know what I mean? You know, the Cubs are right there. They've scored 11 runs in three games. But, you know, I think everybody believes they're one of the top offenses. And, you know, it's just kind of finding, you know, when do you decide these teams are going to hit? And, you know, if you're going to go that route, it's just, you know, hope tonight's not the night.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, but all right, so I settled on Mike Leake. I'm going to jump over to catcher. Oh, but we'll see what we got here. Gary Sanchez still hanging out on top of the catching board. He'll cost you $3,100. It's Wilson Contreras and Jonathan LaCroix at $3,000. And then Evan Gattis is $2,900. He is in the Astro lineup tonight, so we're okay there. And Stephen Vogt, however you want to call him, is in the A's lineup for $2,800 tonight. You know, with the way you should be able to save money on pitching, you know, there's no real reason to worry about how much money you have and if you've got to save anything. You know, if you did what I did and you settled for a guy like Mike Leake, just go out and pick the best catcher you think you're you know, who's going to have the best night tonight? And if it's me, I think Wilson Contreras is going to have the best night tonight. You know, he's hitting indoors. That means he's not going to have to deal with the elements. You know, I think it's a great opportunity to plug in him and possibly a couple other Cubs in. You know, I really think they'll break out of their slump here. Maybe not tonight, but sometime this weekend against the Brewers. So, you know, I'm just going to spend the money while I got it and plug him in.
I concur.
So, you know, just, you know, it makes life a whole lot more easier, you know, just like, you know, when you have that going for you, you're just kind of like, oh, okay, cool. I got this money. I can just kind of, you know, plug it in, do what I want with it. Who do I think is going to hit? And, you know, I'm going to go that route with it. So, you know, we'll see how, you know, how things work out. But, you know, all right, well, I guess we can jump in and look at the first baseman, huh? We've got Paul Goldschmidt at the top, 4,500. Joey Votto and Anthony Rizzo at $4,000. Edwin Encarnacion at 3,900. And Carlos Santana at 3,800. So, again, you know, some interesting guys up top. You know, you're just kind of, you know, you're kind of picking and choosing, you know, who do you like? Who do you think is going to come through tonight? You know, maybe you've got the Mr. Fantasy set up and you're going analytical. You know, oddly, the one player I was really looking at, but his game is already going on, you know, Mark Reynolds has been sneaky hot. He could have been a guy you could have got really tricky with, saved a little money right now with. But obviously, like I said, he's actually playing right now. So it's not gonna do you much good there. But yeah, you know, I don't know, Dan. Who's the big first baseman tonight? What do we got for money tonight? Who's coming through?
Well, I kind of figured they're going out west, interleague play. Francona said he will start in the outfield. There's no DH this weekend, and I would assume that tonight would be the night, and if it doesn't work out, if you take it out, it might not be starting, you know, tomorrow or Sunday. But I'm going to save a little bit and go with Carlos Santana.
Oh, he was going to play the outfield, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's what he said, so hopefully I get to sit there. I mean, if worse comes to worst, hopefully I get safe.
Yeah, well, I know Goldschmidt's been really hot at the plate.
Yeah, but, you know, I see him, so kind of taking that into account. And I'm also thinking about the fact that the weather's been good out there, and that ball's going to fly out if Carlos Santana gets hold of it.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I'm going to take a little bit of a shot at first base, and I'm going to plug Mike Napoli in. I know he's off to a little bit of a rough start, but, you know, he's at home. I think he's got a really good matchup. And, you know, for $2,900, I think, you know, I'm kind of thinking I need a guy who can give me some power. And I really think that he could surprise me tonight and have a, you know, hit a bomb and maybe get a double and kind of add to the offense I need there. So I'm going to go ahead and drop Napoli in. Even though I do have the money, you know, $2,900 is nothing with the way I'm kind of putting my lineup together. So, well, you know, we'll see how it works out. Oh, but all right, well, let's jump on the second baseman then. I noticed the prices came down a little on these guys. Jose Altuve is actually down to $3,700. I believe he was over $4,000 yesterday. Jonathan Villar and Brian Dozier are at 36. Rognar Odor is at 33. And Robinson Cano is at 3,200. So a lot of really affordable second baseman if you're looking for one. You can definitely find somebody who's up here and rolling. And, you know, I didn't even search really too hard, Dan. I just decided I'm going with Odor. You know, I know he's had a pretty solid week to start off his season, and I'm just going to hope it keeps rolling.
I'm almost right there with you, but my toss-up was between Dozier and Cano. I kind of thought that maybe, you know, tonight would be the night for Cano. But with the way the White Sox pitching, I forgot who it is, Derek Holland.
And, Derek Holland tonight, yeah.
You know, I figured, I know you never really supposed to double the left hand. I'm writing that banner on a lefty, but given his history, I think it's a chance I want to take.
Yeah, you know, just like I said, it just kind of fell into where, you know, I'm going to have this money. You know, instead of killing myself kind of searching for value, you know, I'm just going to go with looking at the guys who should produce tonight. I mean, you know, we're talking top-name guys here. It shouldn't be a big deal if these guys hit. You know, I mean, I'll search a couple guys out, you know, here and there, but yeah, you know, I'm, you know, since I don't have the big time pitcher, you know, I don't really feel the need to have to, you know, chase down guys. And what I did at third base is kind of similar to what you did, but I'll run down the top five here first. Chris Bryant will cost you $4,200. Then it's Manny Machado and Josh Donaldson at 38, Kyle Seager at 36, and Jose Ramirez will cost you $3,300. What I decided to do is I'm going with Miguel Sano, who is just super hot. You mentioned the White Sox. They're throwing a lefty in Derek Holland. Sano's a righty power guy. You know, he's just killing it so far this week. I can't see any reason to be afraid of the White Sox pitching staff. You know, it works out for me. He's $3,100, so I think I'm getting a huge value here tonight, you know, with another guy who could just be a monster. So yeah, I'm gonna jump that route and just kind of stick there. I really wish Chris Bryant would break out. I would love to be the guy who said, yeah, I had Chris Bryant the night he broke out, but it's just been so tough to do that. So you know, I'm gonna go with Sano and see how that works out. You know, it's kind of funny, you know, like you look at the top of the board, you know, like obviously Bryant, you know, he's a stud. It's just a matter of getting him going. You know, Machado's in a little of that boat too. Plus it's a night game in Baltimore. I don't think the weather's going to be very good, but like, man, you know, if you had Josh Donaldson or Kyle Seager in your lineup, I wouldn't doubt you at all. You know, they would be great picks. I you know, I'm really just kind of looking at it. You know, it's Sano against the White Sox, and you know, I'm gonna run this way and just plug him in. So, you know, we'll see how it works out. But all right, let me stab at the shortstops here, Dan. Carlos Correa on top of the board for $3,900. Francisco Lindor at $3,700. Gene Segura at $3,200. Elsmendez Diaz at $3,000. And then it's Asdrubal Cabrera and Elvis Andrews at $2,900. So, you know, I just decided I'm going to use a little of Mr. Fantasy strategy here, Dan. I'm going with Gene Segura. Not only is he a Mariner, which is always a great reason to play him, but he's hitting leadoff, and he looks like he was heating up. I saw their game last night, and he looked much better than he did originally. So I think it's a good night to get him in there. Being the number one guy, he's going to get some extra at-bats. But I got to tell you, Dan, if I was looking for an under-the-radar guy tonight, I would be plugging Elvis Andrews into my lineup because he's gotten off to a hot start. But I just think Segura's going to have a better opportunity. You know, Andrews is buried in that eighth spot in the Ranger order. So I'm just going to stick with Segura and see how it works out.
Yeah, I'm struggling here because I actually kind of want to go with Jorge Polanco to kind of keep Clinton thing going on in Enfield against the White Sox. But at the same time, I don't want to go to the well too many times. So I'm hoping the number two hitter can save him if he kind of gets his stuff going.
Well, you know, Mr. Fantasy likes that stacking stuff. You would be doing a Mr. Fantasy play there if you stacked up all your guys like that.
I think it's fun to see what the outfield. But, you know, I think the 48 block, well, what I like is he's been behind the snow. But I have a big round on Sunday.
It can be tough to kind of, you know, figure out where the heck to spend your money and how you're going to work things out. All right, well, let's jump into the outfield here. No surprise, Mike Trout on top of the board at $5,000. Ryan Braun at $4,200. George Springer at $41,000. And then it's Adam Jones, Mark Trumbull, and Jonas Cespedes. All will cost you $3,700. And, now, Dan, this is one of those things I would never do in, like, a yearly league. But in a situation like this, the first outfielder that popped up for me was Ryan Braun. You know, I mean, I don't think that Anderson is much of a pitcher. And, you know, obviously we know that's a great hitting part. You've been there in person. So, you know, it's a perfect ad. And, you know, as much as I hate Ryan Braun personally, you know, I'm trying to win some money here, so I'm going to plug him in at $4,200. So, you know, we'll have to see.
I mean, mine might change in the next couple minutes, but I kind of reached what I'm hoping that other in Texas and they're going up against a maybe not a season event or high profile pitcher that Chris Davis will get some better bats and clean up.
Yeah, and then, you know, I plugged in my last two guys. I just kind of looked around, and I was remembering who was hot this week and that kind of stuff. I went with Nomar Mazara of the Rangers. I know he's been really hot, and I realized I ended up with three Rangers in my lineup. But we'll see if that works out. And then for my last outfielder, I sold one of your guys, Dan. I'm looking for a little more power. I need some home runs in this lineup. So I went with Steven Souza Jr. tonight. You know, he's matching up against Liriano, so it's lefty on righty. And I think it's an opportunity for Souza to really, you know, maybe go yard. And that's kind of what I'm looking for. You know, if he can hit, even if he goes 1-for-4, if he hits me a 2-run bomb, I'll take that for $2,700. So, you know, I think those are a couple good value guys that, you know, I'm going to try to jump in on here and ride a little bit.
Like you said, Milwaukee is a great park to hit. So I really wanted to go with Schwartz.
Yeah, what did he cost? I missed him. How much was he?
$3,400. I actually saw
That's all they've got him down for, huh? Wow.
And I still have $300 left, considering I can't do it tonight. And I went to the top of the board and spent all my money on my draft.
Oh, did you plug him in? Good. I'll be interested to see how that goes. You know, I know we talked about it that one day. I have no luck with Mike Trout. You know, when I use him, he just doesn't score. So it's probably a good night for you because I don't have him in my lineup. Oh, wait, he's playing the Mariners. It better not be a good night for you. Oh, there you go. Well, why don't you recap your lineup real quick? Got it in front of you?
Yeah, kind of. Chris Davis
Yeah, and then I ended up, I have Mike Leake. I'm hoping that works out. That's the biggest question I think I have in this lineup. I went with Wilson Contreras. He actually hit seventh in the Cubs lineup tonight. I know you prefer guys more to the top, but I really think he's going to be a good play tonight. Napoli at first base, he's in the cleanup spot for the Rangers. I have Odor, also of the Rangers, who's hitting behind Napoli in the five spot. Sano is my third baseman. He's in the cleanup spot for the Twins tonight. I have Segura at shortstop for the Mariners. He's leading off. My outfield is Brian Braun. He's in the three spot for the Brewers tonight. Nomar Mazara, my third Ranger, is also in the three spot tonight. And then Dan's guy, I went with one of his guys, Steven Souza Jr., who's actually leading off for Tampa Bay now this year. So there you go. I hope one of these lineups work out for you and you win some money, or maybe you need a combination of both. But, hey, you know, I hope you win, or Dan wins, or I win, or somebody wins, damn it. So...
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's more serious about getting guys who are at the top of the order. And at the same token, if the entire team hit, the guys at the bottom are still going to produce.
I understand the strategy of wanting those guys to get those at-bats. Those at-bats. You know, I get that. But, you know, if you've got a guy with a great matchup, and his team's going to score, he may get five at-bats against the guy who maybe is leading off and his team gets beat, who may only get four at-bats. So in the end, it may actually even out. You know, it's just one of those things. I mean, I understand the strategy, but I'm not as sold on it as a lot of people. You know, I mean, I'll take a good matchup over a guy who's at the top of the order. So, you know, I'm just, you know, it's just one of the things. That's why, like, I don't mind having Contreras. You know, I get it. He's the seventh spot. But I really think he's going to be really good tonight. And I'm not worried about the fact that he's stuck down there in the order. You know, I probably should have looked. The one thing that would scare me is if the genius Joe Maddon bats the pitcher in the eighth spot again, like he did yesterday, because then I would be worried about him getting pitched around. But, you know, as long as the pitcher's in the nine hole where he belongs, then I really have no issues at all with Wilson Contreras. I know the Cubs lineup is out. I just didn't look at it. Do you have any of any fans or close to you? I said, did you have the Cubs lineup anywhere close to you?
I know Schroeder's getting up.
Yeah.
Wi-Fi.
It's Friday. What do you expect? Next, you want to get their weight in for the week.
Yeah, it looks like, I mean, he's sticking with the Schwarber, Brian, for the Zobers to come right tonight. I'm assuming that means Taylor is getting the day off. Oh, no, he's not. He's better. Betting six, but Zobers. Oh, I just don't understand. Zobrist is not a cleanup hitter. Hank Russell is 25 hitter. Just in New York, betting 6. And yes, Javi's betting 9, which Fred Anderson can be 8.
Well, that stinks. I may have to go in and change my catcher then. I'm not gonna take the shot with Contreras if he's got a hit ahead of the pitcher, because all they're gonna do is pitch around him. So I got to go in and change that. I'll just plug like Gary Sanchez or something into the lineup there, because I have the extra money to do it. So, You know, that's the one thing I won't do. Like, I won't play an eighth place hitter because, you know, all the stuff there. So, you know, I still hope Contreras has a big night. I just don't understand, if you're the Brewers, why you would pitch to him at any point with the pitcher standing behind him. You know, that would be kind of stupid, I think, but we'll see. So, yeah, you know, we did have a couple games already in the books this afternoon and a couple more going on right now. So let me hunt down the schedule here and I can tell you what we got going on. All right, we got results from three games, Dan. The Pirates beat the Braves 5-4. Ivan Nova got the win. Mike Fulton-Nawitz took the loss. And your guy Tony Watson got the save. The Tigers beat the Red Sox 6-5. Francisco Rodriguez ended up getting the win, and Heath Hembree took the loss for the Red Sox. The Nationals ended up beating the Phillies 7-6. This actually wasn't a close game at all until Max Scherzer came out of the game. He got the win for the Nationals. Vince Velasquez took the loss, and Blake Tryon picked up, I believe, his third save. So he's rolling along as their closer. A couple games going on right now. The Rockies are ahead of the Dodgers 2-1 in the top of the ninth. And the Giants and the Padres are tied 1-1. Looks like they're heading into the top of the third. Matt Cain made the start for the Giants. And Luis Perdomo makes the start for the Padres. Dan, you know I'm a Matt Cain guy. Is he going to have a good year this year, or at least a year good enough to stay in the rotation? So, yeah, you know. All right, well, here's the rest of the schedule. I mentioned the Yankees are at the Orioles. It's Luis Severino and Ubaldo Jimenez, the starters. The Marlins at the Mets. It's Dan's guy, Wei Ying Chin. Even though, do you end up with him this year on any team?
No, neither.
Right, so he's still your guy. And Zach Wheeler making his first start in about 2 years for the Mets. The Blue Jays at the Rays, Francisco Liriano against Matt Andrese. The A's are at the Rangers. It's Raul Alcantara for the A's and A.J. Griffin for the Rangers. The Twins at the White Sox, Phil Hughes and Derek Holland are the starters. Oh, the Cubs at the Brewers, Brett Anderson and Jimmy Nelson start on the mound. The Royals are at the Astros, Jason Vargas for the Royals, Mike Fiers for the Astros. The Reds are at the Cardinals. It's Amir Garrett for the Reds, his first time he's pitched outside of AA. And then Mike Leake for the Cardinals. The Indians are at the Diamondbacks, Josh Tomlin against Shelby Miller. So it'll be interesting to see how Miller does. And then the Mariners are at the Angels, Yovani Gallardo against Jesse Chavez. So there you go. There's your baseball schedule. So we are, you're all set for a full night of watching baseball, right?
Okay.
And then, you know, I found this odd, Dan. You know, I guess it's just one of those things we should be used to by now, but Rich Hill made one start, went on the DL, but had a blister. Rich Hill, the Dodgers lefty, he made his one start, and now he's on DL with a blister.
Oh, that was crazy.
Yeah, you know, it's just, he's been injury prone, you know, his whole career. When he's healthy, he's been pretty good as of late, but, man, you know, they paid him a lot of money, and you just got to wonder, you know, how many starts actually make. You know, is he going to get to 20? You know, can he maybe stretch it to 25? You know, who knows?
Well, at least it's just a blister, right?
Yeah, you know, but sometimes, you know, not only do those things take a while to heal, but they come back very easily. Thank you. you know, it's just one of those, you know, one of those things where you got to really keep an eye on it and, you know, just kind of watch how this works. But, you know, oddly, Dan, they have a poll on the Mickey Mouse website, and I realize it's kind of humorous because I believe I know you've been to two of these parks and you're going to one next week. They have which stadium is the best to see a game at? Wrigley Field, Fenway Park, AT&T Park, of course, where the Giants play, Busch Stadium, where the Cardinals are, or other, which is the rest of the league lumped in together. So you may have to tell us, you may have to tell us when you get back next week, you know, how good that was.
Yeah, I mean, because I've actually been to, you know, St. Louis, AT&T, Busch, or I said Busch already, everything but Boston.
So, and I can tell you right now, Wrigley Field is winning with 39% of the vote. Fenway Park is second at 21. Then other slides in at 19%. Busch Stadium is at 11%, and AT&T Park is at 9%, bringing up the rear there. So, there you go. I don't know if that the voting has more to do with the fact that the Cubs just won the World Series, or if people were actually considering, you know, what that meant. So,
well, I mean, it is a destination, so that always helps it out.
Yeah.
I think the only reason that St. Louis is kind of down there is, I mean, there's, you know, I think some of the people, when they take that into account, they're also taking into account the area, you know, because
Yeah. You
go to Wrigley, you could watch the game inside the stadium, on the rooftops, outside the stadium. Or you could sit in, you know, the plethora of bars surrounding the stadium who are, you know, going to be very mad when the Cubs open up their little thing outside. But, you know, I think you have that going on. And then Boston, there's a whole lot going on there, which to learn more about. But, you know, they actually closed down the one street right outside the park, like 3 hours before the game starts. I forgot the name of the street, but so I thought that was pretty cool. But, you know, and then I think the challenge that you have with AT&T Park is most people that would vote on it, because you didn't even mention their stats in that. It is, I mean, it's that's Giants territory, and it's expensive to get to San Francisco. And again, that's another area where it's the game. You go to it, and then anything else around there. There's some good restaurants right around, like on the block. But once you go a block or two outside of it, there's not a whole lot going on.
Yeah, and you know that's definitely the thing now. I mean, it's just as important to have an area around your ballpark as it is the ballpark now, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, and you know, and that's the one thing that's always baffled me here in Chicago is. Now, I'm not saying that, I was going to say Comiskey, but I'm going to call it Comiskey, I don't care anymore. I'm not saying that they should have it, you know, like Wrigleyville, Comiskeyville, or anything like that. But I do think that with where it's located and all that good stuff, that they could have done a lot more with that area. I know they've, you know, beefed it up a little bit, but in the same token, you know, it's just never made sense to me that we had the dictator mayor for, you know, 30 plus years. And the whole reason that they stayed there was because of his mom and, you know, him working it out to get the public funding and all that good stuff for that stadium. Yet they literally just put a train station for Southsiders to take the train there. I think within the last three to five years. You know what I mean? That should have been done 30 years ago, at least 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Should have been done well before they won the World Series. And when they did win the World Series, you know, that's when they should have been thinking about, hey, we need to get our Sox fans over here. But that's the one thing that baffles me is, I mean, when I've seen people coming to Chicago to go to Sox games, they're all staying downtown, Big Jack. They're not staying in that area.
Yeah, well, you know, I know the last daily there, Richard, he tried really hard to get businesses to go down there and open up. And, you know, I know there were a lot of tax breaks and, you know, they tried to help them get loans. And he, you know, he did everything he could to help them try to build that area up. And it just didn't work. You know, and I guess that just happens in some places. You know, I mean, the areas just aren't economically built for it. You know, it's just, you know, one of those things in that area. I know there are a couple other, you know, towns like that where it's the ballpark and that's it. You know, that's what you got.
St. Louis. I mean, when my dad and I went to St. Louis, we're talking almost 10 years ago, though. A lot of the buildings surrounding it, you know, south of the stadium, look like rundown, empty, you know, warehouses. And my dad said there really wasn't much because he and my mom have gone back there, I think, twice. Once to go to a game and then just another time to just go do stuff around there. And he said there's really not much to do.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's, you know, sadly there's a lot of, you know, there are ballparks like that. You know, that's part of the reason why teams move, you know, or they try to build new places where they can, you know, get it to, you know, to kind of work where, you know, you can, you know, you have something to do if you want to hang out in the neighborhood or, you know, like, you know, and that's how Wrigley Field, you know, Wrigley Field and Fenway work perfect for it. And what's odd is I believe they're the two oldest ballparks.
Yeah.
Well, so, Boston, you know, they just had the right location, you know. Yeah, they just had the right location to begin with.
Well, and I think that's what the Giants were trying to go for. And I'm sure that, you know, the neighborhood and everything will turn around because it is really nice right by the park. I honestly believe if you're downtown San Francisco, it's probably only about 20 minutes, 20, you know, depending on the drive, probably 20 minutes east of the stadium, you know, of the stadium is 20 minutes roughly east of downtown, which, I mean, that financial district is high priced, expensive to begin with. So good luck staying over there. But, you know, where we stayed, we were, I believe, about a 15 minute walk, which wasn't too bad. You know, and it is kind of cool, but at the same token, it looked a little run down on the streets that we walked by. We were only a couple blocks from the police station, so, and we seen, you know, police driving around, so that made us feel a little bit safer. But, you know, I think the challenge too is it's old, the area that the park is in, and, you know, in between downtown and where the park is, there's a lot of old stuff going on. But it is funny because just like Chicago, where you can see the homeless, and, you know, a roughed up sidewalk and, you know, with the weeds going through, and then you find this little dive spot that's just completely awesome. I don't know. You know, it's I guess, to each his own, but it's just a different city.
So,
we literally stayed on the outside of the expressway.
Yeah, you know, a lot of places, you know, that's how it could be divided. You know, it's just a street here or a street there. You know, it's just the weirdest thing because you wouldn't think that would make that big of a difference. And, you know, but all of a sudden, you know, it does. And you're like, wow.
Yeah, where, you know, for me, I think one of the coolest parks still, I mean, Pittsburgh was great. Kansas City is pretty awesome. But I really liked Milwaukee because, number one, they were smart. You know, obviously they went with the dome that I believe it opened. They're not smart when they open and close it sometimes, though, because they waited for it to get super muggy and humid before they closed it. But I don't know if that's because the Cubs are in town and they were trying to limit the ball from flying out. But we sat in, you know, inside the stadium at about an uncomfortable 80 degrees. But, I mean, the cool thing about that place is it's kind of not – it's not in the city, which I don't – where I, you know, having gone downtown Milwaukee, it wouldn't really work down there. But it's kind of off in its own. And I mean, I think it houses almost 50,000 people, which is pretty phenomenal. And then, you know, especially for a team that the last time they won even a division was back in, what, 81, 82. So, but the parking. And I know that sounds crazy. Ooh, what's the big deal, parking? They have all these parking lots, you know, to accommodate almost 50,000 people, but they treat it more like a football game where, I mean, yeah, the game will start at noon, but you should get there and find your parking, prepay for your parking with a group of people and spend, you know, get there. It's a noon game, but get there at, say, 8 o'clock in the morning. Set yourself up. And, no, I'm not kidding. And everyone was doing the, what do you call it, the tailgating.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a really cool aspect of the Milwaukee Park.
Well, that's cool. And now, you know, Dan, I want to, while we're talking baseball, I want to get this in. I can't, don't want to forget to mention this. I know you posted it on the Sports Time Radio Facebook page, but Tim Tebow homered in his first at bat last night.
Yay! Go Fireflies.
Yeah. Yes, he hit an opposite field home run for the Columbia Fireflies. Oddly, though, I don't think they have the final score or anything else about the game in this article. I was wondering if, you know, the team won or what happened. But, yeah, they don't have anything else in here, just that Tebow homered. So that's all I know.
Well, I thought it was kind of humorous that the same people that a lot of the negativity I saw about the – you know, who was it that struck him out? Was it Scherzer?
Scherzer, yeah.
You know, with all the Scherzer posts, I saw that many people, the same people reposting the home run.
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, I saw Scherzer blow some guys away who made the Major League roster. I don't think they'll mention that, but yeah, it's, you know, not an embarrassment that Tebow struck out on three pitches from Max Scherzer, guys. Sorry. So,
no, I mean, hey, it's your first day in the major leagues, and you're going up one of the best pitchers in baseball. Good luck.
Yeah. So, you know, it was just kind of like, you know, I get it. And I'm sure, you know, there'll be, you know, guys who rip him about this, you know, well, you know, it's single A. And, you know, well, yeah, he's in single A for a reason, guys. So, you know, there's a reason.
The one thing I hate, you know, not, I guess I don't want to say hate, but just really dislike are the, well, I've seen one comment on one of the things, oh, well, he's just a name. What does that even mean? Everyone's just a name if you think about it. So why don't you come up with a better, you know, something better. But at the same token, I mean, this is a professional sport. And, you know, for the people who are like, oh, well, the Mets just did it to, so that they could draw or, you know, to make money. The 32 major league teams do not rely on their minor league teams to make money. And they are not
right.
Stupid. So, you know, baseball is a different animal. They're not going to go after a guy just for the name value to, you know, get a little bit of attention. That's just not how it works. And I think it's, you know, kind of insulting to the game when people say that, because the Mets aren't that, you know, they're not stupid. You know, this is one of the top organizations in baseball and a playoff contending team. They're not just going to pick up Tim Tebow because, well, he's got a name. You know, I think that
has
a lot to do with being an athlete.
You know, if he would have signed with one of the independent teams, now then I would have believed that. They're just signing him for an attendance bump, because that's what these teams do. But, yeah, I mean, why would the Mets waste a minor league spot on a guy? You know, why do you want to draw for your Class A team? You know, how many more people do they think Tebow is going to add? So,
no, I mean, I think that, you know, obviously it's going to help in the summer, but then again, he's down in a state where they don't have Major League Baseball. So.
Right, you know. You know, I mean, you know, at first it's, you know, it's an interest thing. I mean, like you and I were talking, I would go to one game to see him. I don't think I would, you know, spend every night at the park looking to see Tim Tebow play, but I would, you know, I would go and look once, you know, so, you know, maybe that's what they're going to get the attendance bump on. But, you know, I mean, you never know. If he plays well, he's going to be gone. He'll be on to the next, you know, he'll go to probably high A.
Well, and, you know, it's, the one thing we talk about, oh, it's just that he's just a name. Well, you know, the guy who scouted Kyle Schwarber, you know, he's the one, he passed away, unfortunately, but he's the one who said that he reminds him of Babe Ruth. And, I mean, do you think that he made the draw for the Kane Counties that much better when he played there that one year?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, we went to
Michigan
because, you know, but we also went during the 4th of July weekend with a whole hell of a lot of stuff going on, an amazing fireworks show, which, you know, being that we have a good friend, Chris Hagstrom, come on, they have to do a lot more to draw people. And while you're going to get your diehards, you're really not going to draw, you know, 1,000 people just because you've got a quote name on the roster.
Yeah, you know, it's the weird thing because, okay, well, you know, I wonder if this guy realized that, you know, this was the exact same reason the Bulls signed Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
You know?
I see, it's a different animal. You know, baseball's a different animal. One guy's not going to...
Yeah, you know what I mean? The Bulls admitted it. So, you know, it's just one of those...
Did they actually admit
it? You know, one of those things. Yeah, I don't know if he, like, admitted it publicly, but it kind of came out through the different channels and stuff. So, you know, one of those funky things. But, you know, but before we run out of time here, I did want to remind everybody that there is one NHL game tonight. And it is on the NBC Sports Network. You can see the Tampa Bay Lightning at the Montreal Canadiens. It's the only game out there if you want to go look for that. Of course, there are a slew of NBA games going, but it's an NBA TV night. I thought Friday nights were the Mickey Mouse Network, but it's a doubleheader on the NBA TV. The first game on NBA TV, you got the Atlanta Hawks at the Cleveland Cavaliers. The rest of the schedule here, the Miami Heat at the Toronto Raptors, the New York Knicks at the Memphis Grizzlies, the Detroit Pistons at the Houston Rockets, the San Antonio Spurs at the Dallas Mavericks, the New Orleans Pelicans at the Denver Nuggets, the Minnesota Timberwolves at the Utah Jazz. The second game on NBA TV tonight is the Oklahoma City Thunder at the Phoenix Suns. And then the night wraps up with the Sacramento Kings at the Los Angeles Lakers. So there you go. A few more NBA games to watch if you're interested in that. So,
well, maybe they figure.
But yes, you know, they do have their regular Saturday evening primetime game on ABC, but you know, I guess I don't know why they didn't want to, you know, because I don't think they're not showing a baseball game or anything tonight. But maybe, you know, maybe they're going, you know, they got something else going on. Who knows with them? Oh, yeah, they're showing the replay of the golf tournament. They're showing a replay of the Masters. So,
I don't want to upset anybody, but I just can't even watch the regular play. I guess it would be more condensed, right?
You know, I don't know. Oddly, you know, like I'll turn it on from time to time since it is the Masters, just to kind of see what's going on or how things are going. And for whatever reason, I had one of those days. I think I turned it on about three times when both the baseball games were a commercial between innings, and they were a commercial every time I turned it on. So I didn't get to see a golf shot. But I did see they have a four-way tie for the lead. Charlie Hoffman is at 4-under with, let me double check the names, make sure I got them right, with Sergio Garcia, Ricky Fowler, and I believe, I want to make sure I don't butcher this name as badly as I thought I might. Wait, what happened? What did I do? I believe the last name is Peter, but for whatever reason... Why did I just lose him? Yeah. Oh, that's what I did. So their score, you know, they try to make their scoreboard really neat and really interesting, and it just makes it difficult to navigate. Thomas Peters, from, I believe he's from Germany here. That's the German flag. I think my geography is okay. They are all four under after the completion of today's second round. So there you go. But Phil Mickelson is hanging around. He's actually even par, and that puts him in a tie for fourth place. So if you're a Phil guy,
do they just do one whole day considering the amount of people that are in it, or how does it?
No, they play 18 holes a day. You play 18 holes 4 days. So, you know, that's how they do it. You just go, you know, you go off in groups of four and you follow each other around. Make sure you don't hit the guys in front of you. And they try to space them out at the start. You know, everybody has a tee time that's separated by a little bit. So, you know, a group can go out and get going, and, you know, then the next group goes off and so on until everybody's on the course. And, you know, I know I don't think they do it at the Masters, but in some of the bigger tournaments, one group will actually, there'll be a group starting on the first tee and a group starting on the ninth tee. And they'll play the back nine first and then come around to the front. You know, and then the one group will play the front nine first and come around to the back. Depends, you know, how many entries there are and stuff like that, but I don't believe they do that at Augusta because this is a premier tournament. So,
I guess I'd have to.
But I know we brought it up. We were talking about it a little bit. It looks like Dwayne Wade is coming back Saturday, Dan.
Yeah, Jimmy doesn't want to get hurt, but he's excited to have him back.
Yeah, he'll be back in time for the
playoffs.
For the playoffs. So. We'll see if that helps or hurts the Bulls. It does look like they are going to get in, so we'll see how that goes.
And Durant should be back this weekend too.
Yeah, is he coming back this weekend? I wasn't sure if it was. Yeah, well, that's true because he wanted to be back before the end. Season. So yeah, he should be rolling back pretty soon as well. So yeah, that's cool. We'll get everybody back. Sorry, I was distracted a little bit there. They were just saying somebody hit their second home run of the game, and I couldn't hear the name. I was hoping it was one of my players. So I have to figure out who it was. It was in the Giants game, but I don't, you know, I'm hoping, like I said, I need it to be one of my guys. I did see in the auction league you were destroying whoever you're playing.
Yeah, your good buddy Steve Kane. I'm not sure if he's actually changing his lineup. I'm gonna go back in.
Oh, okay.
And then double check. I'm gonna go double check. But it, you know, he only has, like today, one of his guys is out. You know, that happens. He just. Entire lineup,
yeah.
And you know, one guy he started didn't end up starting, so it's whatever. But I don't know if maybe his pitching is bad, or I don't know. I want to do a double take on his team, find out if maybe we'll have a dead team. The snake league kind of sucks because I'm going up against the guy who's not taking the ball.
All right, well, the music means that we are going to take off, and Dan, now you won't hear Dan again until Thursday of next week. As he heads off to Boston for his vacation, going to Fenway. Mr. Fantasy will be here Sunday with me for 2 big hours, and then you get 3 days of Schomburg, Stu, and I. But remember, we'll bump the start time up to 5 o'clock to accommodate Stu and his senior dinner. But you know the deal while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out all the cool stuff. Link over to the Facebook page. Like that, please. The Twitter feed, at SportsTimeRadio. See what's going on there. Don't forget, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. As always, thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want now at